Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. Genesis, chapter 1. We're going to read several verses here. We'll skip around a bit through the chapter. Genesis, chapter 1, verse number 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, verse 3, why don't you read verse 3 with me? Ready? And God said, let there be light. And there was light. I'll read verse 6. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Now let's read verse 9 together. Ready? And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. I'll read verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let's finish on verse 20 together. Ready? And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done here. Lord, it's hard to believe just 2 years ago you gave us our preacher. Father, please do something today that would be very unique and very special. Lord, a lot's happened in 2 years, but so many more people, so many more needs that need met. Fill our preacher with your power in a very unique way, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
This morning, we turn our attention to the first chapter of the book of Genesis. This sermon comes on this day for a special reason. In Genesis chapter 1, we begin to read and we see the creation of God. The title of my sermon today is found in Genesis chapter 1. The title is, and behold, it was very good. And behold, it was very good. And in spite of what you may have learned at your public school, God created this earth. God created man. Anybody that teaches it any other way is a liar. It's a lie. Any other way is just a flat out lie, and it's rebellion against God. On day number one, the Bible says that God divided the light from the dark and created light. On day number two, God created the water, the skies, the heaven. On day number three, God created the land and the sea and the plant life. On day number four, we see the sun, the moon, and the stars become visible. On day number five, the birds, the animals, the sea life, and the cicadas. And they've been multiplying rapidly ever since. The insects on day five. On day six, man was created and woman. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, it says this, and God saw everything that he had made, and it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And so, it says, it was very good. It doesn't say that God said it was just good. He said it was very good. God had spent 6 days creating all that he created, and at the end of the sixth day, he looked at it, he examined it, and he said, it's very good. God looked at his handiwork on the end of the sixth day, and I think he probably looked himself in the mirror and said, you do good work. It was good, and it was very good. And then on the seventh day, the Bible says that God took some time to rest and then to, I think, look back and enjoy what he had accomplished the first 6 days. Today, I don't know if you'll call this much of a sermon, but today I want to do the very thing. I want to look back on what God has done, and I want to say to everybody here at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, what God has done, it is very good. On June the 1st, just 2 days from now, I will celebrate my official second anniversary of being the pastor of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. I want you to know that I have examined what God has done in the last 24 months. See, how would you describe it, Brother Owens? And behold, it is very good. And behold, it is very good. Let me tell you why. It is very good what God has done in the last 24 months here, because God is the one that has done it. God is the one that has done what's been done here. Let me read a little passage of Scripture to you. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse 5, 6, and 7. The Bible says, "Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase." If you're a guest here today, I can very briefly say to you, our church started a revival 24 months ago, and it has not stopped. Some people have a two-week revival or a one-week revival or a two-night Bible conference. We have had two solid years of a revival experience here at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. And I want you to know the reason why I can stand here and say the way we could describe it is very good is because God has done it. See, when God looked back over those 6 days of creation, he was able to say it's very good. Why can God say that? Because God is good. And God had done good. And we would be mistaken if we didn't take a little time today to look back over the last 24 months and be able to shout to God and say, "God, you're a good God. What you've done around here in the last 2 years is remarkable." You know, some of you, maybe you've heard me say this, but I can honestly tell you something, that when I left Indiana, I made one deal with God, just one deal. When I left there to come here, I'd lived in Indiana all of my life. I'd been at the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, the world's largest Sunday school, on the staff with Brother Hiles for almost 18 years. And I made one deal with God. When God and I were meeting and I was praying and I was seeking God's will in regard to coming to the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church in Martinsburg, West Virginia, I said, "God, I will go under one condition. I said, I will only go if you will go with me, because I'm not going alone." And may I say, God's here. I travel the country and I tell people, God is in Martinsburg, West Virginia. He's here. He's here. This amazing, perpetual revival that we have experienced for 24 months is because God is here. God is in it. In a moment, I'm going to show you some amazing blessings that only God could create. Just like God created those first 6 days, and God looked back and said, "Look at what a wonderful thing has been done." There's only one way to describe what has happened on this 32 acres of property in the last 24 months. God did it. It is God that gives the increase. Paul, somebody planted some seed and somebody watered the seed, but it is God that giveth the increase. Yes, God uses man. Yes, man needs to be usable. And yes, we should work hard. God definitely will choose to use a man or a ministry, but it is God that giveth the increase. Who is Apollos? Apollos is just a tool in the hand of Almighty God. Who is Paul? Paul is just a tool in the hand of Almighty God. Let me see if I can make this real clear to you. It is not Jeff Owens. It is Jeff Owens as God. God may choose to use Jeff Owens, but it is God that giveth the increase. Thank God for Dr. Don Smith, who has been loyal and faithful as I pastor the previous pastor here. But it is not Dr. Don Smith. It is Dr. Don Smith's God, as Dr. Don Smith yields himself as an instrument to God so we could have a revival. It's not Dr. Mike Bajan. No, it is Dr. Bajan's God. It is not Dr. Tom Tennis. That's not the reason we have a revival. Now, Brother Tennis may have yielded himself to God, but it is Dr. Tennis's God. It's not Greg Nash. It's Greg Nash's God. It's not Craig Bush. It's Craig Bush's God. It's not Rusty Guin. It's Brother Guin's God. It's not Matt Smith or Rick Young. You say, "Well, why are we having this revival?" It's not because of any man. It's because of the men's God, the God of the universe. That's why. And I can say what's happened in the last 24 months, it is very good because it comes from God, and God is good. It's not our bus captains. It is the God of our bus captains. Yes, we have some fantastic bus captains. Thank God for them. But let me tell you something, bus captain. If you think this revival is because of you, you're blind. God doesn't need you. God has a lot of people he could use. Now, if God has used you, praise God, but you're just the vessel, and he's the God. He's the God. It's not because of our Sunday school teachers, though God has chosen to use them. It's not because of our soul winners, though God has chosen to use them. It's not because of our teenagers. It's because of our teenagers' God. I can boldly say this morning, it has been very good in the last 24 months. Why? Because we serve a good God. We serve a God that has chosen to bless us. God has come in a wonderful and a miraculous way, and he has settled on this church, the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, and God is doing something in this place. And I praise God today that it is God that has given the increase. It is God that's given the increase. So, let me say, first of all, it is very good what's happened here because of our God. Secondly, let's look at what God has done. If you're a visitor here today, you just have to bear with us. We're going to have a little family reunion, and we're going to get out the picture album. We're going to look at some pictures of what God's done in our church family the last couple years. We're going to get out the home videos, if you will. And we're all just going to remember back and look at what God has done. Because God stopped at the end of the sixth day. He looked back and he said, "This is very good." And I can guarantee you, if you're a member of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, you can stop today, look back on what God has done in your life and in our church, and you can testify just like God and say, "This is very good. It's very good." The last 2 years, the last 24 months, we've had 1,587 people walk the aisles of this church receiving Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's not an exaggeration. Those are exact numbers. 1,587 people that walked down that aisle, that aisle, that aisle, that aisle, that aisle, that aisle, those aisles up there, not many from up there, but a whole bunch from down here. We've had them come from everywhere receiving Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We've had more than that saved out on the streets. I didn't even take the time to figure up how many people we've had saved out soul winning. We've trained many soul winners in the last 24 months. At our kids' crusade, in one week, we had 201 children saved right here in this church. In one week, 201 boys and girls receiving Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. If I wanted to, I could have everybody here that's been saved in the last 24 months stand up, and there would be literally scores of people that stand up and say, "Hey, and I'm one of them. I got saved in the last couple of years." How could we forget it? How could we forget the day that we had all the veterans of our community come to our church? How could we forget that 103-year-old man, Mr. Buckles, World War I and World War II veteran, a POW, 103 years old, sat right there and got born again. Got born again. Hey, right before he slips off into eternity, and I don't know, the old fella may live to 120, I'm not sure, but 103 years old, what a victorious day. Only God does something like that. How could we forget the state trooper Ellswick, who had been shot in a domestic dispute and paralyzed and all over the news, sat right here one day when we honored all the police officers and the people in law enforcement, sat right there, and during the invitation, or as a result of that meeting, he got born again. He got born again. Just recently, I think the last day of our spring program, in one service, we gave the invitation. Remember, I preached a sermon called "I Bought a Cow." I bought a cow. And I preached on all the excuses people give why they don't get born again. And that morning, we gave the invitation. I won't forget it. They kept coming, and they kept coming, and they kept coming. 69 people in one church service got up out of their seats and came down to this old-fashioned altar, responded to an old-fashioned call for salvation, and they got born again. Oh, what God has done. He has been saving people right and left. I remember the day that I think it's setting right over here. We had a lady that was a harlot, a prostitute. She got born again. Now sent to the church. I mean, I'm talking about, and listen, folks, that's not common. Prostitute walked down the aisle realizing she needed to be born again, got on her face before God, confessed her sin, and got born again. Those kind of things in the Bible, they wrote about them. They wrote about them. They said, hey, that's quite an occurrence. This year, our teenage soul winners went out one day and had 127 people saved. Boy, it's very good. It's very good. Baptism. We believe that once you get saved, you ought to get baptized. Baptism never has, nor it never will save anybody, but it is a step of obedience after your salvation. We got a tank of water right back there, and our baptistry tank is not empty. We keep it full because we think there's going to be people get saved and baptized. In the last 2 years, 440 people have troubled the waters of that baptistry. We had to buy a bunch of new baptistry robes. We were running out of them. Matter of fact, it got so bad, we had to start, we even used every once in a while, we get so many people baptized, we've got these coveralls, jumpsuits, because we didn't know what else to do. But we built 8 new baptistry changing rooms in the back. And, of course, we paid for them cash as we went along. Put some new safety rails in back here because, we're just using it so often, we had to make sure our people were safe. Our parking lot. So often, full, beyond capacity. In the last 2 months, our church, and I just went back 2 months in our attendance, in the last 2 months, our church is now averaging 863 people every single Sunday morning. Wednesday nights, we average right around 350 people. You take a Sunday night, we'll have almost 400 people any given Sunday night of the year. We had a high day on a Wednesday night of 557 people that showed up a Wednesday night prayer meeting and Bible study. We had a high day in Sunday school of 1,022 people with a high day at church with 1,097, and we've not put our best foot forward yet. We're just getting warmed up. Oh, it's good. It's good. And if you sit there and you're a critic, you're probably a critic because you've been in a church where it's dead. Or you're a part of one. You say, well, I have a hard time believing that. Check. Check any record. Ask anybody here. I'm making it up. It's good what God has done. It's good. It's possible. I'm so sick and tired of hearing preachers say, well, you can't do it in this day and age. Malarkey. That's not true. God's alive. God's not dead. God's still out there. God still wants to have a revival. You say, well, you must be trimming your message. Hang around, sweetheart, and see if we trim the message around here. Just hang around and see. People are tired of having a whitewashed Christianity. It's true. It's real. In Sunday school, in the last 2 years, our average attendance, and I just went through the last 8 weeks, we're now averaging 795 in Sunday school. We recruited 56 new Sunday school teachers and workers. We started 12 new adult Sunday school classes, 2 new teen classes, and 12 new children's classes for a total of 26 new Sunday school classes. We started a Wednesday night teachers meeting that we have every Wednesday night at 6:15. We had to build a bunch of pulpits. Fellas, go get me some pulpits. We had to build pulpits. You say, why? We didn't have enough pulpits for all the preaching that was going on around here. There's preaching going on all over the place. You know something? You take September through May, on any given week in this place, the Bible could be taught 100 times in one given week. We had to start building pulpits. I wasn't sure how we were going to handle it all. And we built pulpits, and we built pulpits, and we built pulpits, and we built pulpits because we just had to figure out a way to have a pulpit for everybody. And these are gorgeous pulpits. Thanks to Brother Lynn Collins and some others that have helped him. But we built pulpits. You guys are going to have to hustle. Wouldn't hurt you anyway, Brother. You want to let's go move, buddy. We had to have a way. We had to have a way to keep all the Sunday school classes taught. And we had to have a way where people could learn the Bible and see, well, every one of these pulpits, let me tell you what we do with them. Every one of these pulpits, a Bible sits on them. Now, I'm not going to bring them all out today because I don't have room to bring them all out. Because, Brother Lynn, how many of these things are we building? Or what was my last order to you? What was the number? Say it again. 36, I think we'd already built 8 or 10. You say, what are all the pulpits for? The Bible. We put the Bible right here. The more you teach the Bible, the more you give out the Bible, the more the Bible sets right here, the more God's going to bless it. I don't know what we're going to do with... We don't have... And you want to know something? We don't have enough of them. We don't have enough pulpits. We didn't dare bring them all out. There wouldn't be room for all the new pulpits. What are they for? They're for teaching the Bible. That's what we're supposed to do, isn't it? They're for teaching the Bible. You know something? We started some new curriculum in our Sunday schools. A portion of it I write myself. We've already saved ourselves about $9,000. Now that's good. That's good. And it's strict King James Bible. And it agrees with the standards and convictions that we teach our children over here in our school. Our bus ministry. What God has been doing. And it is very good. We bought 8 new buses. Paid cash. Just so you know, we pay cash for these things. We pay cash for them. We bought 8 new buses. We paid cash for them. We're getting ready to paint all of our buses, red, white, and blue, stars and stripes. We're paying cash to have them all painted. I think the bus ministry, Brother Bajent and I talked about it yesterday. He said, Brother Owens, we'd have 70, 80 people on buses a couple years ago. We're now averaging right at 300 people a week in our bus ministry. Let me tell you something. That's a good balance. When you're averaging 850 in church and only 300 of them are coming in on your buses, if we wanted to, we could be running over 1,000 people in church right now with no problem. Amen, Brother Martin? We could put how many buses up there in Hagerstown? I could put 10 buses in Hagerstown today and fill them up and bring them down here. Now, we're not going to do that quite yet because I got to get more of you adults committed to teaching the Bible and living right, because I got to have somebody that can stand in one of these pulpits and teach the Bible to a bunch of boys and girls, and you're not going to stand behind one of them unless you're separated from the world and you're dedicated so you're not a phony as you stand before the kids. But I'll tell you something. If we want to run 1,000 right now, choir, that's no problem. That's no problem. That can be done. It's good. Seems good. We had a high day on our buses of 459 folks. We've started new routes down in Winchester, up in Hagerstown. We've recruited 30 new workers into our bus ministry, all of which abide by the church's standards and guidelines. We started a new route in Hedgesville. We split the Martinsburg route, and we may split it again here before long. It's good. It's very good. Oh, the spiritual growth and what God has done here in our church. I stopped and figured up my preaching here in our church services 3 times a week, and then my preaching at our prayer meeting and at our bus meeting and in Sunday school and in our chapels. I was amazed. I've preached 572 times in 2 years here. 572 times I've stood up, whether it was for 10 minutes or for 2 hours, and preached. The Sunday school growth. Sunday school's a wonderful place. Amen, brother, amen. Our Sunday evening growth is phenomenal. Our people coming to church on Wednesday night. The lessons that we've learned as we shared together, and I taught you 30 lessons on the subject of prayer, and 32 lessons on the subject of the Bible, and 30 lessons on the subject of soul winning. And we have had families saved, and families salvaged, and families join our church, because it's very good what God is doing. You just take our property and ground. You know, folks, there's so much going on around here, you don't even realize it sometimes. You don't even realize every day of every week we are progressing and we're fixing up and cleaning up. We have 2 new parking lots out here. They cost us a total of, I think, right about $45,000, and they're paid for. They're paid for. We've removed all the trees across 81 so people could see us when they're driving through. Because there are some fundamental Baptists, when they go on vacation, they want to be in a fundamental Baptist church. And we wanted to make sure they could see the fundamental Baptist church from Highway 81 so they'd know how to find us. We removed all the trees across 81. We re-roofed one quarter of the church roof. We paid, it's all paid for. Posted our visitors' parking spots all over the church because I felt that the visitors ought to be up close. All the signs and all the fences throughout the property have all been properly painted. The trees, if you've noticed, a lot of hard work went in by one of our good men in trimming up all the trees. You know what they wanted to trim the trees? They wanted $5,000 just to trim our trees. Thank God we got it done, all paid for. Of course, somebody else took care of it, but it's all cared for. Our landscaping, we put thousands of dollars into our landscaping. It's all paid for. We put two new washrooms in on the second level up here. Why? Because we were having so many people show up at our church in between Sunday school and church. If they need the washroom, we had them lined up 8 and 10 deep. And it was an emergency. We had to put in the new washrooms. We put a new washroom in the back here because we have one of our Sunday school classes for our senior citizens that meets in a class back here, and they need the convenience of a new washroom. It's paid for. We put three new Sunday school classrooms over our front entryway out here, and we got them all decorated up, all fixed up, and it's all paid for. We totally remodeled our PA room. And if you can see it, I mean, we tore it apart, put it all the way back together. New cabinetry, new equipment, and work. And it is just $15,000 has been spent on remodeling and fixing up our PA system. Hey, part of the money came from one of our men. He wanted to pay for a loudspeaker, and he donated the money in honor of his wife. We've divided four classrooms so that we could have eight. We built two new nurseries and recruited 60 new nursery workers. And by the way, every one of those new nursery workers that were recruited under the guidelines of them being separate from the world, living right, showing up at church. And if you're one of those new ones, don't you recant and go backwards because I'll remove you from the nursery. We have three new storage areas that we built under the stair units here. We have two new air conditioning units. They're paid for. We painted the auditorium. It's paid for. We lighted it up. We bought 250 chairs because we had to. We had no place to set people. The pews were completely full, and we bought 250 chairs, and we have used them often, along with a bunch of white tables. They're paid for. You ladies, some of you know, we retiled the entire ladies' washroom downstairs here. We have new mowers, one brand new and four or five other used mowers and weed eaters and blowers. We bought this land up here, this piece of property in this house. We were afraid somebody's going to buy it and put a, you know, used car lot right next to the church, and I didn't want to do that. And so we bought it. You say, what are you going to use it for? I'm not exactly sure. I just didn't want them to have it. And we bought that house, and we bought the piece of property that goes along with it. We're going to, next week, we're bidding on Quadgraphics. We're going to buy that. And we'll teach them to print something that's not filthy. I've been hearing about some of the trash they print over there. Well, and there were some back salary necessities that need to be taken care of, and they're all taken care of. We bought a new color copier for our church because we were just wearing our copy machine out, and it's just fantastic. We've networked all the computers and put many new computers in. We had a blonde joke contest. Yeah, we had a blonde joke contest. We remodeled five rooms above the locker room. I wish you could see them, and many of you have. We took the rooms above the locker room. We totally remodeled them. We recarpeted them. We tore out walls. We put the air conditioning in so we could move our school over into one building. It's fantastic up there. We put a bunch of storage units and permanent storage in our locker rooms. We named our bus garage the Osterman Bus Garage, and I can't even go into all the work and things that's been put into the trailer and the property that's down here on the corner. We put a private entrance in up here so Brother Tennis could get in and out of his office area, and we built a false wall in the Persian room. By the way, in the Persian room, we put in a platform, and now there's a PA system in there, so it is used for chapel. We bought the teenagers an air hockey table and a ping pong table and a foosball table. We put new lighting in the auditorium and doubled the lighting in this auditorium. We have a monthly Revival Fires ad that runs every month, and everybody sees the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Get this. With both Owens Publications and our church tape distribution, we've distributed in 2 years 30,000 preaching tapes. We remodeled my office. Got a jacuzzi in there. It's fantastic. We had a money raiser at our school, and this is the biggest record we've ever set, 55,000 Crumpy's Donuts. You say you're exaggerating. No. No, I'm not. This is one of the most wonderful things that happened in the last 2 years. I've shot 7 deer. It's been great. Listen to this. I have a schedule book. My schedule book is 6 years long, and again, that's not an exaggeration. I have 6 years of a schedule book that I keep. I stopped and I figured up approximately how many people I've counseled in 2 years that's come to my office for counsel, and it's 4,681 people. I have people get upset with me. Well, I'm going to have to wait a week and a half to get to you. I've counseled 4,681 people in 2 years. Take it easy on me, will you? I know you think I just sit around with my feet propped up on my desk, but we have been busy. In the last 2 years, I've flown 150,000 miles going across the nation helping churches. I do that in my spare time. Dr. Smith and his family, what a blessing. Been loyal. Don't forget our Pastor Emeritus celebration where we sent he and Mrs. Smith and gave them a wad of $100 bills and sent them to Hawaii. We built a museum for them. Remember Thanksgiving, we honored Jody and David and just packed them full of groceries and meat, and then we helped them with their school bill with the kids. After I got here, we gave Dr. Smith his retirement. We boosted his income in retirement, and then turned around and just a few months later and took him on for missionary support. Oh, God's been very good to us. Staff, don't forget, whether you realize it or not, you've gotten a raise both years. You got a raise with those of you that have insurance the first year or the second year. I was able to give the entire staff an increase in pay. And all salaries have been paid in full on time. Thank you, Brother Paul. Every bill of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church has been paid on time. On time. We don't have creditors harping at us, and we don't have a black eye in the community about our bills. God is doing something. Oh, the ministry opportunities and what God has done. And if you look back, you'd say, hey, behold, this is very good. This is very good. We had our first annual East Coast Ladies Conference. We thought, well, let's just have a ladies conference and we'll invite some people to come. 749 people came from 11 different states. We didn't even have room in our auditorium for them all. It's almost embarrassing. We started our spring and our fall program for 5 weeks in a row, and God has blessed them miraculously. Our soul winning attendance has grown from 30 a week to 120 people a week going out soul winning. We started the Saturday morning 10 a.m. soul winning meeting. This is almost uncanny. 70,000 pieces of literature with our name have been passed out everywhere. 70,000. We talk about brochures and gospel tracts. You're some of the trackinest people I've ever met in my life. We recruited and trained 24 new hosts and hostesses and greeters throughout our property. I've performed 15 funerals. That's one every month and a half. Our senior citizen ministry is nearing doubling its attendance. We're trying to care for our ladies by providing lawn mowing. And we started new classes, and we went from having about 4 activities a year to 15 activities a year. Our choir is full to capacity and full of baloney. And all you had to do is sit in this auditorium and watch every single week the choir gets better and better and more unified, and the Holy Spirit is upon them, and God is doing something. We now have 16 different musical groups that present music here in our church. We started a hospitality ministry that would help to treat our visitors right. Listen to this. Listen to the list of guest speakers that have been into our church. These are the people that have come to our church. They've either preached to our teenagers, they've preached in our Christian school, or they preach right here in our church. Dr. Dean Miller, Dr. Daryl Cox, Mrs. Beverly Hiles, Dr. Doug Kalap, Eugene Owens, Kevin Walker, Carol Tudor, Frida Calling, Mrs. Coral, Dr. Tommy Ashcraft, Daryl Whitehouse, Andrew Steers, Brian Taylor, Manley Lane, Ed Hawkins, Carolyn Hawkins, Gene Birch, JoJo Moffat, Phil Palace, Loretta Walker, Brother Sprecher, my son Joshua and the camps. 24 speakers in 2 years. That's one a month. And so, you know, every speaker was treated properly. Every speaker walked away saying, I'd like to come back here. Every speaker was treated in a generous way, and they were uplifted and encouraged. And they all say, I like being around this place. Our Christian school. Let me tell you about what's occurred in our Christian school. And you might be able to stop and take a moment and say, God, that's very good what you've done. Oh, look at what God's done. We started a class called Biblical Family Living. We added a class called Biographies of Great People. We added a class called Home Ec. We added a class called Auto Mechanics. We added intramural soccer and intramural basketball. When I arrived here, folks, this may be hard for you to understand, but a few of you could figure it out. When we arrived here and God started this revival, 79% of our school was made up of people that didn't even come to our church. 21% was from Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. I checked with Brother Bush this week. The number now is 74% of our school is from the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church and 26% is from the outside. You understand, if 70 to 80% of your school is people that don't come to your church, if they turn on you, you shut your school down. What can you do? How could you support it? Now, thank God for those people that entrust their children to us here at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. But that school belongs to the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. It's a Baptist school. We use a King James Bible. Salvation will be taught straight. Kids will be taught to live right. And if somebody from the community doesn't like it, they can just take their kids out of our school. We have grown in our school. And just, I just want you need to make sure you understand it. Our school is not a reform school. The spirit in our school is high. It's high. You don't have people giving one another a hard time because they want to live right. We have some new curriculum. We've already told you about it. It's new curriculum for our school. It's strict King James Bible. This supports the separation stand of this church. And it'll save us $230,000 in the next 10 years. Because the place that prints it's not printing it to make money. They're printing it to help people. So they've given us the masters so that we can print our own material and not be charged $20,000 a year. We added a computer keyboarding class. We started a store over here in the Christian school called the Pencil Box so the children could buy snacks and school supplies there. Brother Tennis received a doctor's degree. Brother Bajent received a doctor's degree. Brother Nash received his RN degree. We started a teacher's prayer meeting that meets every day before school where the teachers all get on the same page and they pray together and they spend time in the Bible together. Mrs. Owens has been to Walmart 117 times in 2 years. We doubled the number of children in our Christian school that are taking private piano, and then we extended private piano all the way through the summer so your child, because it's not smart to take private piano for 9 months and then shut it off. Any musician would tell you that. So we kept it going all summer long. We've had people from 26 different states come to this piece of property to come and see what's happening. We brought music in. A young couple said to me, Brother Owens, we have changed the music in our home. because you have made available to us the right kind of decent music. The average Christian bookstore is not Christian and doesn't sell the right kind of music. It's full of trash. And so I've been bringing music groups in so you can hear the right kind of music and buy the right kind of music and get rid of the trash in your home and get you some decent Christian music. We've had the Ohio Anderson College tour groups and Dan Daniel and Missy Cogley come in and sing. Mike and Michelle Leonard, Dennis, Don, and Jeremy Pyle, the Victorious Valley Girls, the Marshall family were here, Daryl and Lori Whitehouse, Dan and Jessica Monkern, Phil Palace, and then don't forget the world famous Backwood Brothers. The best group that we've had. We've tried to get our people involved so they're serving God. We've added 6 ushers. We've added 20 greeters. We've added 4 hosts. We've added a dozen altar workers and soul winners. We've added parking lot attendants. We started the King's Kids program because Awana had turned their back on the King James Bible. We started Young Fundamentalists. I remember one night we were having youth revival here, and I'd just not been here very long, and a young man sitting about right back there where Brother Martin sits stood up and challenged me in the service. I said, young man, you need to sit down. He didn't like what I was saying. I had to walk back there, and we finally had to take him out of the service. That week he got saved. We brought him back into church and showed everybody with a Bible in his hand. He was a rebel against God, but the gospel got a hold of that boy and turned his life. We started our 5-week spring and fall programs. Faith promised in the last 2 months, or the last 2 years, $226,000 have been promised. Our offerings have gone from about $9,000 to almost $18,000 a week. I stopped keeping track of the number of visitors that came to our church when we hit about 4,000 in 2 years. I had a guy that, virtually crucified me. Wrote me a nasty letter. He said, "You're lying! No church can have that many visitors." You see how many visitors we had today? He said, "You're going to have to average out of 20 or 25 visitors every time you turn around." I said, "I'm a lying, cheating skunk." I just stopped keeping track. 61 people surrendered to full-time Christian service. We started our Super Bowl party this year, and thank God the way we did it. We go to church all the way through the end of our church service while we are electronically videotaping the service. We take out all commercials because I don't think you ought to be watching the beer commercials and the cheerleaders showing their rear ends. We take all that out. We go over and we have refreshments. And thank God while everybody else was watching Janet, what's her name, show her you know what, we were in here hearing preaching. And when we got over there to watch the ball game, it was clean. We had 13 kids go off to Bible college. We went to the Spectacular in Hammond, Indiana, which is a ladies' meeting. And 2 years in a row, we were the second largest group anywhere in the United States of America bringing ladies to the meeting. We've given away 1,500 King James Bibles in 2 years. We've hired some people. We hired Brother Nash. We hired Brother Bush. And Brother Gewen, and Brother Young, and Mrs. Costa, and Brother Smith, and Carmen Davis, and Steve Davis, and Mrs. Doss, and Joe Lopez, and Mrs. Lopez, and Mrs. Bush, and Miss Gillum. We also hired Miss Russell, Mrs. Kane. We took Mrs. Knight on as a full-time employee. I stopped writing. Because I figured by the time we got to this point, you'd say, "So what? Our day does not allow us enough time to tell you exactly what's happened here in 24 months because this doesn't even begin to tell the story because I could march person after person that could walk across this platform and say, let me tell you what's happened in my life. Let me tell you what's happened in my family. Let me tell you what happened to my husband or to my wife or to my kids. And now I've got a desire to rear my kids right. It's a fresh breath of air what God has done inside my family. Folks that didn't have their kids in the Christian school now have their kids in the Christian school. Kids that didn't want to come to church are the first ones outside the house on their way to the car to get here. And I can say I have grown to love you more and more. It is a God-given love. I love your families, and I'll make you a promise. I won't give up on your families. Some of you face some real challenges. I do not think a week has passed in the last 24 months that you have not heard me say this to this congregation. I love you. And I do. I love you. I wonder how often you hear me close a service by saying, oh God, help the people to know that I love them. I love you whether you love me or not. I love you. And you'll find that out. You've handled the preaching well. But may I tell you, God is not finished yet. Just like He initially created those things the first 6 days, you know what he said? He said this. He started out, He got this thing kicked off, He created everything, and then He said, be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. I challenge the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, whether you're a new member as of today or you've been here for the last 40 years, I challenge you, let's be fruitful and multiply. Let's do a little bit more of what we've already started. Some of you that have not gotten involved yet, jump in. The water's fine. God's not finished. God's plans are bigger than what we know. You say, well, Brother Owens, what should I do? What should I do? Let me give you a couple quick pieces of advice and I'm done. Don't quit growing. Don't quit growing. See, Brother Owens, I've grown so much in the last 2 years, none of us are finished products. I'm still growing. You need to keep growing. You say, Brother Owens, I've changed so much I don't even know myself anymore. That's good, because it might be that you're getting to know Jesus. Don't quit growing. Number two, don't leave the church. Don't leave the church. I'll tell you why you ought to leave the church. If you are a rebel and you're going to cause problems in this church and there's no chance you're going to change, you go ahead and go somewhere else so you don't destroy the unity that we have. If you're going to sit around and criticize and be negative, and I'm talking about in private or in public, and you say, I'm just not going to go along with it, then you go ahead and you find a church where you'll be satisfied. It's obvious I won't be able to satisfy you. I hope nobody makes that decision, and I hope everybody stays here. But if you're just going to ruin things and you're bound to determine that you're not going to get in, then maybe you need to find a place where you'll be happy. Maybe you find a place where something's happening instead of this boring old place. Don't quit growing. Don't leave the church. Don't be critical. You know something? There might be something bigger than you going on. There might be something that is more spiritual than what you even realize going on. Next, don't reject the revival in the preaching. Don't reject it. You know, you say, how in the world has all of this happened? God? God? If you're not saved today, if I were you, I'll tell you what I'd do. I'd get saved and I'd say, I'm going to get in this church. I'm going to be a part of this. I'm going to be a part of this. If I was here today and I was a backslidden church member, I'd walk out, get my heart with God, and say, get my heart right with God, and say, yeah, I don't want to get in on this. I think I'll stop criticizing, and I think I'll just try it. The Bible says, and God saw everything that He had made. It was very good. In the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And I look back at what I have seen God do in 24 months, and I must say, it's been very good. It's been very good. If you're a part of it, stay a part of it. I think it's going to get gooder and gooder. If you're not a part of it, we welcome you. If you're not saved, why don't you get saved today? If you've been saved and you've never been baptized, why don't you follow the Lord in believer's baptism? Are you looking for a old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, King James Bible, separated Baptist church? That's what we are. Maybe that's what you're looking for. Maybe you ought to join us today. But it's been very, very good. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed.